Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Judd Hollis is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Judd's a new friend. He's a pioneer in the industry of crowdfunding. We've talked about this in the past. Crowdfunding is a relatively new term, right? Judd has multiple patents for web-based capital market systems. So he's all in. He's invested in the concept of crowdfunding. And so who better to have here to talk to us about it? He's been in the industry for a while now, and he's the CEO of EquityNet. He's our new friend, Judd Hollis. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good morning to everybody.
It's good to have you here, Judd. Okay, so my audience knows about crowdfunding. I've talked about it on the show. I've had several other people on there to talk to, on the show talk to about it. We've been talking about it for a couple of years now, I guess. And there was a big flurry of activity and talk and everything a couple of years ago. But then when the legal elements started hitting and it became something that needed the government to rule on, things kind of quieted down, didn't it?
Yes, there was a peak of activity, more or less, around a year and a half ago when the U.S. Congress passed the Jobs Act, which effectively legalized crowdfunding in the equity investment area. But, of course, this is a global phenomenon, so there's been many such events globally as this industry has matured everywhere from Australia, Italy, to the U.S.
So let's talk about the global part of this first, then we'll come back to the U.S. What is happening? Are other countries farther ahead of the United States in terms of using crowdfunding?
Some areas, yes. And there's three main things I would say about crowdfunding so people can have a better grasp for what it really represents. And that is, number one, crowdfunding is basically serving the more or less the same function that a bank traditionally would, or a venture capitalist, in that a venture capitalist would take people's money and reinvest it, likewise with a bank. A bank would take savings and then lend that money and make the difference in the two yield rates. Well, crowdfunding takes those intermediates out of the equation so the populace can provide the capital directly to the end users and take.
So instead of me giving my money to a venture capitalist to invest however they wanted to and then share the return with them, I would give it directly to the end user, to the person who was, to the company. But of course, that would also take out the layer of due diligence that may be better than my own.
That's a very good way to look at it, is it does take away and as someone who is taking part of the return, but that person's also getting paid to make good decisions, in theory. And so this industry is predicated just on that end-to-end type, peer-to-peer type capital transaction. And the other main thing to say about crowdfunding is there's different types of crowdfunding. There's donation-based crowdfunding where people just donate money. There's debt-based, where an entity or a person will lend money to you.
Right.
And then there's equity type, which is where you actually buy a piece of a company, you actually invest in it more like a public stock, and that's what my company focuses on, the latter. The latter is the most complicated form. It's the one that's most regulated, and hence is the one that is most based upon congressional action, like what we saw 2 years ago here.
Right. So yeah, equity funding falls under the Securities Acts of 33 and 34.
That's 1933, correct.
1934, and so they're having to make adjustments, which they haven't quite made yet, have they?
No, the Congress passed the law almost 2 years ago, and the SEC has started to implement those new laws beginning in September, and now took a next step towards the finale of that law here in October, and that new law should go into effect in around the spring of this year. And that law is the most profound form of crowdfunding, wherein any average American, whether they're wealthy or not, can invest a portion of their income into, you know, their favorite small to large businesses.
Well, in the past, I'm gonna generalize folks a little bit, but I think it'd be pretty close. The Securities Acts of 1933 and 34 basically prohibited anybody from going out and soliciting equity investment from people they didn't know, and also from people that didn't have the net worth where they were considered to be sophisticated. How close is that, Judd?
You're exactly right. They limited the businesses. The businesses could not publicly advertise their need for equity funding. And on the flip side, the investors could not invest unless they were accredited.
Right.
That means they had $1 million in net worth.
Right. And so those were the limitations. And unless you went through a full, you know, either a private placement Reg D type of thing, or you went through a full securities clearance, which included all the due diligence, and you in either one of those cases, you had the opportunity to read all of the ugly stuff. But what we're talking about now with crowdsourcing, with crowdfunding, it's kind of like angel investing on steroids, digital angel investing, basically, isn't it?
That's correct, and there's still lots of protective mechanisms that Congress and SEC have imposed to make to prevent crowdfunding from causing excessive, you know, losses on the part of novice investors.
What are some of those things that they're going to be doing to prevent that?
Well, first of all, if a company wants to use crowdfunding with this new class of investors, you know, your average person that uses, you know, Fidelity or E-Trade,
right,
you can raise up to $1 million per year. So that's your first limitation. And on the investor side, they can invest up to 10% of their annual income per year.
Ah,
yeah. And then there's many other due diligence and disclosure and other type requirements.
Does that include people who you know, or is it? Does that apply to people you don't know?
If you're going to use the new Jobs Act, what's called Title III, then no, you don't have to have any existing relationship with them.
No, but I mean the limitations on income, is that the same for everybody, whether you know them or not?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Very interesting, folks. So when we come back, I want Judd to talk to us about who's a prospect for crowdfunding. Are you? Well, we'll talk about that after these messages. Judd Hollis is our guest. His company is called EquityNet. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.